From the studios of WMAA-FMHD, welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guest, and not of WMAA-FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. And now, here's your host, Dr. Nanette and Keith Funderburk.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of How You Livin', a show about life with the Funderburks. I am Dr. Nanette Funderburk, your resident psychotherapist, and as always, I have with me today...
Dr. Funderburk, this is the last show of the season.
Yeah.
I'm your husband, Keith Funderburk. And you say the same thing every show.
Because, you know, I like to know. I like stability and security.
Oh, because, you know, like brothers, it's pretty bad when your wife say, yeah, I brought them back with me. I'm like, man,
I live at the house.
Oh, man.
Look, see, the peoples count on me for they know what they know. They count on you for the confetti.
Wow. See, that's a big word.
Confetti?
Confetti.
Sir, please. I mean, really?
My wife is a super nerd.
And proud of it.
Wow.
I'm the president of the club.
Wow. Look, I'm the janitor.
Smart people rule. Hey, I'm not mad at janitors either. I love them.
That's right.
But you know what? See, I was about to get you. But I'm not going to get you in front of all the people right now.
That is. Dr. Funderburk, I give you a name every week.
Every week.
Mm-hmm. And so this particular name, mm-hmm. I want you to call me Rerun.
You gotta do the dance, sir.
That is, look, I got my hat on, my big, real big baggy pants. Brother, rerun. I'm gonna rerun this thing. That's right.
Now, so, see, can y'all tell I'm in here dancing?
That's exactly right. So you're in here dancing.
See, I'm the one that'll dance.
You need to sit down somewhere.
Did he just tell me to go have several seats?
Look ahead. Go ahead and sit down. We playing the organ music.
Sit down.
That is. See, we playing the organ music on you right
yes.
now.
Yes. Okay, sorry.
That's right. So today, Dr. Funderburk, we want to just kind of rerun or just talk about some of the things that really impacted some of our shows this past year. Because, you know, it was a very impactful year.
We have had a year.
Yes, we have.
We really have. This year has been a year and a half. So, we're going to recap some of the shows that we've gone over that we think were super impactful, and that, you know, when we would run into you all out there in these Greensboro streets, we would hear you all say things about them. So these are the things that we think that you think are impactful.
Well, you know, Dr. Funderburk, I want to start off with the disaster recovery show.
Okay, so yeah, that was last year.
That was last year.
Last calendar year, but it was in this.
It was in the fall.
Yeah, the fall of the year.
Because, you know, we were dealing with recovery for those that experienced disaster over there in Western North Carolina with Helene.
Yeah.
And, you know, even we are still dealing with Helene.
We are still dealing with Helene. And I was on the highway the other day, and, you know, the highway sign still says, you know, if you're trying to go to Tennessee from here, you're going to have to find another way because the roads are still cracked up.
Wow.
Yeah. That storm really did some damage. And so, you know, if the roads are messed up, then the people are still having to just get their lives back. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. I mean, because if you're still mentally and physically dealing with a disaster, and again, I know we're specifically talking about Helene, you know, like, I know we may not see it as much in the news, but there are families all across North Carolina, even right here in Greensboro, High Point, Winston. We are emotionally dealing with Helene and dealing with the impact that it had on our lives.
Yeah, and I think this just highlights how we cannot just have a big event, a big whatever happen, and then, you know, when the dust kind of settles, so to speak, think that we're okay and everything's okay. Because I know we are still reeling from the pandemic. There are impacts that I see day to day and that I hear people talking about from day to day that are, you know, things are just still very, very impactful for them in the ways that we had to be different. So I can't imagine when they're is physical, you know, some people's homes are gone and the structures, the things that they used to see are, some of them are no more. I can't imagine how that is for the folks in Western North Carolina. So, you know, sometimes I think we're just ready to be so quick to move on, but we got to deal with some stuff sometimes.
I tell you, sometimes, and we as individuals, family members and friends, we just think people can just move on. You know, you may have experienced a death or maybe you had a loss from a, you know, change in work. And we just think, you know, people should just be able to move on, you know, in a matter of weeks. But for some, I mean, the reality.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's hard. You know, sometimes we got to dig in there. We got to just, it's almost like PTSD.
Almost like, it is.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, sometimes, you know, for some, I can remember growing up and I was, you know, I was really afraid of storms. And, you know, I would, man, when I would look outside and I would see, the, you know, the dark clouds, I mean, I would just, fear would kind of rumble up in me because, you know, it's not that I was stuck in the storm necessarily. At least I don't think. But growing up as a teenager, you know, it took me a minute to kind of really address storms because it was a lot. It was, you know, it seemed like it was very powerful.
Well, clearly they are very powerful. I mean, because that's what Helene was, a storm, right?
Yeah, that's true. That's
Helene
true.
Was a storm. So I can absolutely imagine someone who has survived Helene seeing storm clouds come or hearing, you know, that, oh, it's hurricane season when that time of the year comes around. And they may have some flashbacks. They may want to avoid the news sometimes or... And those are PTSD symptoms, post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms. So it makes sense. So I think bottom line, what we're saying here is don't just try to say, oh, that's over with, get over it. Sometimes you got to deal with some stuff. And sometimes the things that people can't get over or they're having difficulty getting over, it might be because there's a root that started somewhere else.
Okay. So, hey, so that was a very impactful show. Okay, another show that I think had a very impactful, it was in the fall, but we had been dealing with this one. It was kind of coming up to that point.
Okay.
And that was the post-election fears.
Oh, yeah. So before the presidential election.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were, as a nation, we were coming up. I mean, we were preparing 4 years. For that, it's almost there's something called anticipatory anxiety.
What?
Look, brothers, I told you now before you drop a word, you got to practice it. So I knew that one. So I'm not embarrassing myself. I did
you
practice
are not.
That.
You are doing well, sir.
Anticipatory anxiety. In other words, it's when you're dealing with your fears or you're thinking something is going to happen.
You're anticipating.
Yeah.
That something is going to happen. Something big, something bad is going to happen. You're anticipating. Oh my gosh, it's coming, it's coming. And you're sitting there on the edge. And that's what going through, I think, a lot of times in these last, the last decade or so, 10, 15 years, the elections, many elections have felt like, okay, when are these political ads going to be over?
Right, right.
But especially this election season, things felt, I think, even heavier, or I don't know if that's the right word or not.
Because, you know, North Carolina really played we were one of those swing states. And so we saw a lot of media. We saw a lot of the presidential candidates coming through last year. And so, but folks, they're even still emotionally dealing with these elections and how to restore. You know, we got family members that in my own family that supported different candidates.
Yeah.
And so
that happens in a lot of families.
And it happens. And so the real deal, it might be a family member. It might be a coworker. It might be a spouse or a child that you're still, even though the election was in November of 24, you're still dealing with this relationships
Yeah.
After the election. It's like, I mean, you know, because we've got this one, we got a family reunion coming up.
Mm-hmm.
And so for some people, they're not wanting to interact with certain family members because of their affiliation.
And that's unfortunate. So we've got to recognize that these relationships, the goal is for these relationships to outlast any political candidate or any political Democrat, Republican.
Parties.
It was on the tip of my tongue. Our relationships are going to outlast that, and we want it to outlast it in a way that we enjoy, that we can live through, that we can, you know, still interact like family
right.
later on after this stuff is long gone. But even here in North Carolina, there was a highly contested race.
Yeah, it's the North Carolina Supreme Court.
Mm-hmm.
Still undecided, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Still decided.
So can you imagine just, you know, uncertainty, anxiety is about the unknown.
Right.
That's literally, it's about not knowing the future.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what anxiety is about. So that's literally what that seat, that race has going on right now, because mm-hmm. it's unknown.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
You're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. Yeah, we're doing a rerun. We're talking about shows.
Did you hear that? I did good, didn't I?
Okay, you stick to the clinical stuff, Dr. Funderburg. You know, I let that Brother Funderburg over here.
Uh-huh.
I do that kind of stuff.
So. Okay, yeah, I'm sorry.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. So we are talking about shows that had impact, and as we were out in the community, some of these shows. But really, we're still hearing about them. You know, at the beginning of the year, Dr. Funderburg,
mm-hmm.
you talked about this concept of mm-hmm. Quitter's Day.
Yeah.
Quitter's Day.
Yeah. So Quitter's Day is, there is an actual date on the calendar. Quitter's Day is January 10th of every year. And
well, actually, it's like the second Friday.
That's right. I'm sorry. It's the second Friday.
You're right. That's right.
That's right. That's right. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. So, but the second Friday of every year of January in every year.
That's right.
New Year. And it's called Quitter's Day because that is the date that research shows most people who have made I think 50% at that point mm-hmm. of people who have made a New Year's resolution or goals or whatever it is that you might call it, that's the day that they've probably stopped even thinking about it by that time, by the second Friday, yes.
And, man.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Dr. Fulmina, I was trying to, and even now, we're in May.
We're in May. So if this is you, if you've quit your resolution or your goal, now is a reminder for you. Pick it back up.
Yeah, because see, Dr. Funderburg, my goal.
Mm-hmm. Well, we had a word.
We had a word.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one of the things that, a word that really I wanted it to resonate for me was tenacity.
Tenacity. Mm-hmm. And somebody mentioned that to me, but you weren't around.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Somebody said, how's his tenacity going?
Yeah, but you know what? I'm still working through that. And you know, I'm not done yet. You know, it's only May.
It's only May.
But I am still using that word, though,
mm-hmm.
because I wanted to be have one word.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I still have goals that I'm trying to accomplish. I'm not saying that I don't have any goals, but I wanted this one word to be a theme word for the whole year.
Yeah. So even with those goals, your thought was that you would be addressing or attacking each goal.
That's right.
With tenacity.
With tenacity. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I've done very good in some areas of my life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where I've been I've been kind of really strong at it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's some times I feel like I kind of got off the horse or, you know,
mm-hmm.
I stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But just talking to you now is mm-hmm. just reminding me
mm-hmm.
to be tenacious, of using my tenacity word,
mm-hmm.
to get back on there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for example, I said I wasn't going to drink as many carbonated beverages.
Right.
And so
you've done really good at that.
I haven't had as many carbonated or, more importantly, sugar beverages.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I want to do, Dr. Funderburg, give mm-hmm. me one thing that for those that are struggling with, you know, keeping up with a goal or keeping up with something, what can we do from a mental health perspective?
I think accountability is the best thing is one thing that you can do to make sure that you're staying on track with a particular goal. Because when you connect with someone else about it, you're a little bit more likely to say, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to be meeting with so-and-so or having that phone call with so-and-so today. Mm-hmm. So have I done anything?
Right.
Yeah, so that can be really helpful. And that person, that accountability person, can also help you to see, oh, I actually have done something. Because sometimes we're just measuring ourselves against the ideal.
Right.
We're measuring ourselves against the perfection. Goodness, the words.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when we measure ourselves against perfection, or we measure ourselves against the ideal, it can be really easy to say, I'm not there yet. And,
right.
and why am I even doing this? But we don't just want to measure ourselves against the ideal. You want to measure yourself against the old you, of where you started from. Right.
Right.
Go ahead.
And so, but you know what? This is so important. You know, mm-hmm. I know oftentimes we hear about accountability partners mm-hmm. Or a sponsor in some of your addiction-like programs, you mm-hmm. know, Al-Anon or drugs or
Sponsors are in Alcoholics Anonymous.
Okay, but I mean, in essence, a sponsor, an accountability mm-hmm. person. You know, men, look, if you're having to deal with porn addiction, I want
wow.
you, yeah, porn addiction, mm-hmm. that's really big with men.
It can be. Well, it can be big with men or women.
I want you to get an accountability partner.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you got somebody. If this is something you're trying to overcome,
mm-hmm.
it might be eating, it might be working out, I don't know, whatever it may be,
mm-hmm.
make sure you have an accountability partner, somebody mm-hmm. that can help you stay accountable. We're trying to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Dr. Funderburg.
Yeah.
Now, this is one of those shows that you know you're big on.
Uh-oh, what's that?
Black hair.
Oh yeah.
Look, don't touch a woman. Don't touch a black woman's hair.
I
heard that, man, one time, and boy, that's the gospel. I feel. Man, I tried to touch my wife's hair one time. Look,
don't even try it. What are you talking about?
You can't touch a black woman's hair, especially after it get done.
Now, after it's done, I mean, don't mess it up. But
right.
See.
Dr. Funderburg, but black hair, and again, mm-hmm. when we think about black hair, we really think more about women and their hair. But of course,
well,
this
we
is
do, but
there, men. Yeah.
there are a lot of guys who are like, nope, I gotta keep my locks tight. So
yeah. But you know, but why is it that with that? You know, black hair is really, mm-hmm. it really stands out for a woman or a person.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and I think that's one of those roots, one of those things that has roots in the racial segregation and really back to slavery, because we weren't allowed to do our hair. We weren't allowed for our hair to look nice.
Right.
So, you know, once we were able to start learning some things and doing things with our hair, then, yeah, we took that thing seriously.
Yeah, you know, because see, sometimes, you know, that your hair really defines you.
It can. And I have to also jump to, it's still a part of the black hair world,
mm-hmm.
but it's actually the lack of black hair or the absence of hair. And because there are a lot of, well, guys have been going bald for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, yeah.
But now I know some women are bald, and there's even just the baldy clubs, so to
wow.
speak. The, you know, baldies out there. And baldies are not always someone who literally has no hair. It could just be someone who has a super close crop. But sometimes they are literally bald. Sometimes it's by choice. Sometimes it's because of, you know, something like some sort of alopecia or other illness that may take their hair out. But I'm seeing women walking around bald, and it's like they're like, this is me. Take me or leave me. And they're proud
right.
of the way they look, and they should be. So I think that's just another way we have reclaimed something that we didn't, that originally was not deemed as beautiful, but there are some really beautiful women
yes.
walking around that are like, yes, I'm bald and I'm proud.
Hey, look, I think there's a, I know there's a couple of people in the Congress that are,
that's right.
Black females that are bald.
Oh, what's her name?
And I forgot her name, man. I should have looked that up prior to the show.
Oh, my goodness.
But you know what, though? And I, look, if you are bald, ladies, man.
Work it.
Do your thing. Fellas, if you know, I know you were trying to hold on to the hair, but you know that line kept receding. Look, let's just let that thing go. And man, get that head, make that. Head shine. I mean, like a milk dud head, make it shine.
Ayanna Pressley.
Ayanna Pressley, that
that's
is.
The congresswoman who, I think she had alopecia.
Okay.
Did she have alopecia? I can't remember. I could be wrong about the disorder. But she lost her hair.
Right.
But yes, she is a black woman in Congress, and she is running things with her bald head in place. So
wow.
I love it.
I love it. You're listening to How You Living, a show about life with the Funderburgs. You've got Keith and Dr. Nanette Funderburg. We're back at it again, y'all. This is the last show of the season. And so we really wanted to come back and talk about some of our shows that had an impact on your life.
Mm-hmm.
And so now, Dr. Funderburg.
Yes, sir.
We had a young lady years ago. She had got divorced.
Oh, yes.
Yes. And so now she went through a period of healing.
She did.
And actually, that healing, it actually started. It wasn't healing in the beginning for her. At least she didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
But then she talked about a healing period.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was able to get remarried.
She did get remarried. Yes.
And
so
again,
we're talking about Ms. Niecy.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Ms. Niecy Gilmore.
Mm-hmm. And her husband, Don.
Her husband, Don. That's right. We'll give you a shout out. But, you know, that particular show was very impactful.
It was. Because there are so many people who are divorced out there.
Right.
There
right.
are so many people who are divorced, and I don't think anybody goes into marriage, you know, expecting to get divorced or wanting to get divorced, but it does happen.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I think was really impactful for me that she mentioned was that after her divorce and as she was trying to walk through the healing process, there was this, it was almost like she had this stigma thrown at her, or, you know, people were giving her the side eye, quote unquote, or she just, she got some flack for being a divorced woman. And so I don't know if it was because she was a divorced woman, divorced black woman. I don't know, because I would imagine men may get some of that stigma too.
Right.
But she really felt, she could feel it from some people, and she didn't feel welcomed in some circles. So I thought that was just so unfortunate.
Yeah, yeah. You know, because, see, you know, it's amazing, though, especially in some communities, you know, they look at divorce as something you just don't do, period.
Mm-hmm.
But then divorce happens, folks. It happens to some of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not something you wish, you know, that you would do.
Because it is very, very hard. People talk about, because I've worked with people who are working through their marriages ending, and we talk about it as a grief, a point of grief, because it's the death of their marriage. So people do have to grieve it. And so for someone to kind of be giving you the side eye when you're right there in the middle of grieving,
mm-hmm.
that's hard.
Yeah, because I think for Niecy, mm-hmm. I believe she mentioned that she was married for, what, 20 years?
I think she, yeah, it was 20-something.
Yeah,
I can't remember.
And so, you know, for a person, for individuals that have been with someone, I mean, for 20 years,
mm-hmm.
Or more, let alone, you know, if you date it.
Mm-hmm.
But, the you know, healing from something like that, it takes time.
It definitely takes time. And it took, which I'm really glad that when Niecy came on the show, she mentioned this too. It takes time, but it takes work. And she talked about how she put in the work. She was working on herself. She didn't jump into things, other relationships very, very quickly. She was in, she did her own therapy. She had confidants, true confidants also that she could connect with. So, you know, she did some work. And so, you know, if you're that divorced person out there, and because Niecy said she would never get remarried, and here
right,
she is
she
now remarried. So if you're that divorced person out there and you're feeling the grief of it, you're feeling the wounds, because there are wounds mm-hmm. that, you know, people talk about or describe marriage as the two becoming one,
right?
Or one flesh. Think about the flesh is torn now. The flesh is ripped apart. Imagine if that were happening literally to you, if your flesh was ripping apart. Would that hurt? Absolutely, it would hurt. Absolutely, it would hurt. So the emotional and psychological trauma is just as, if not more, painful than the physical trauma.
Wow. So, Dr. Funderburg, let me ask you this, my last question for you then.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a single person, or in other words, they experience divorce,
mm-hmm.
give me something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they may be sitting here, they didn't listen entirely to that particular show,
mm-hmm.
but they want to know more. About how, give me one tip that they can use.
About how to
deal with divorce or
deal with
the emotional,
like healing from divorce.
Right.
Well, I think actually even just making the decision to do so is, you know, when it's the thing that's necessary for you, it's the thing that's necessary for you. So, you know, allowing yourself to be secure in that decision after you have connected with confidants, and yes, I'm even going to say going through the therapeutic process about that, going to therapy about it, because it's difficult. It's not a decision to be made lightly.
Right.
So I would connect with a confidant, connect with a therapist, and recognize, you know, if this is what is for you, if the wedding or if the marriage was a mistake, it's just what it was. It's not, you know, don't beat yourself up over that. What you don't want to do is live the rest of your life in a mistake. So, you know, this all needs to be discussed on a case by case basis too. So I'm, you know, if there are salvageable marriages out there, I'm not telling you, oh, go get divorced right now. I might be saying, oh, you need to work on some things, but, you know, this, take it case by case. So don't just take what I'm saying as a blanket, go get divorced out there.
Right.
But, you know, I'm saying go talk to someone, go check and see, is this what we need to do? And if it is what you need to do, then go ahead and do what you need to do without carrying the shame and stigma for yourself.
If you want to listen to any of our previous shows, it's actually going to be on WNAA FM HD. Click on how you're living. .com, of course. And you can click on how you're living. They've got, you can re-air or listen to the shows over again that we've even talked about today.
Mm-hmm.
Dr. Funderburg, we got to get out of here.
Okay.
Close us out.
Well, you all know, do I get a chance for my mental health minute?
No, because we got to get at it.
Oh, okay. Well, you all, this is How You Live in a Show About Life with the Funderburgs. And if you have any questions for us, make sure you're messaging us at WNAA Community at gmail.com, WNAA Community at gmail.com. And we'll hopefully connect with you next school year.
Hey, that is. We'll see you back in September.
All right.
26.
2025, 26.
Dang.
Take care, y'all.
That wraps up another edition of How You Livin' with the Funderburgs. The views and opinions expressed on this show are those of the professionals and the guests, and not of WNAA FMHD Radio or North Carolina A&T State University. As always, WNAA FM invites your feedback, so give us a call during normal business hours at 336-334-7936. This program was produced in the studios of 90.1 FM WNAA and is the sole property of WNAA FM HD and North Carolina A&T State University. No portion of this program may be aired, played, or reproduced without written permission from WNAA FM HD. Join us again next week for another edition of How You're Living with the Funderburks on 90.1 FM WNAA.